This is Keep Talking with Greg Rennie and Rob Reiford on Mind Body Matters.
Welcome back.
Well, we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're back. Another edition of Keep Talking here on Mind Body Matters.
And we're talking here. We're talking.
Yeah, we've got to keep talking. And that's the whole gist behind this. And, you know, on Keep Talking, I have to let our listeners know none of this is scripted. In fact, today I'm going to tell you I don't even know what I'm going to talk about. This is coming right off the top of my head right now as we speak. And one thing I do want to talk about is we've really come along with this podcast. You know, I mean, way back when, this was just a thought. It was just an idea. And then we decided to follow through with it. And out of Mind Body Matters, which was a bi-weekly podcast, we turned it into a weekly podcast. And the beauty of the Keep Talking episode, which is every other week, we'll talk about anything. And one thing I would like to talk about is the fact that sometimes I interrupt you, and I shouldn't.
Oh, I don't really notice that.
Well, I go back, and I was listening to we actually got some emails from our listeners wondering about our backgrounds and where we came from. And I remember this one episode we got into this Mackenzie Phillips story.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But do you know what? You never finish the story because I kept on interrupting. And you know, we get off talking on a tangent about other things. And that's what happened. So let's go back to the days of when you and I used to hang around Lulu's Roadhouse in Kitchener, Ontario, with our old dear friend, Kenny Hollis, from Copper Penny.
Right.
And Kenny was a dear friend to you. He was a dear friend to me. He was a friend.
Great guy.
He was a friend to many people. Just a great guy. And through Kenny, you and I had the opportunity to meet some amazing people. And some amazing stories came out of those meetings at Lulu's. And so I wanted to finish. You got talking about this Mackenzie thing. And now, is it true?
Oh, for God's sakes, just let me say the damn story.
Okay, is it true that there was maybe a little romantic thing going on between you and Mackenzie Phillips?
No. I was there with my future wife.
Oh, you were? Okay.
My ex-wife, which was my future wife at the time.
Okay, so... okay.
a wife that I prefer not to refer to.
Okay, yeah. All right.
But anyway... No, I didn't take offense in that episode. We were just kind of rambling. A listener wants to know about our background, and this might be kind of like the second part to it. But no, you and I were just, you know, talking, and you didn't interrupt me.
Okay.
The key thing with this story is not too long ago, I read Mackenzie Phillips' autobiography.
Okay.
And it's shocking, it's amazing, but, you know, it is a lot about music. Because for those of you that don't know, Mackenzie Phillips is the daughter of John Phillips from the Mamas and the Papas. Monday, Monday.
Monday, Monday. So good to me.
Mamas and Papas, California Dreamin'.
All the leaves are brown.
So Rob and I used to meet with a lot of people backstage in the day, in the 80s. So basically, when I read her autobiography, I was curious to know about the time that her and I met, which was around 1987. And if you remember the Geraldo show, now we're going way back. Her dad and her were on the show shortly before I met her in 87.
Okay.
We were backstage. And John Phillips was there. Scott McKenzie was there. From he had that song
San Francisco.
If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair.
Scott McKenzie was there. John Phillips was there. And there's a whole group of people, and I was just kind of listening in, and, you know, I had a drink in my hand, and apparently they were talking about this new hit song that they are looking forward to having on the radio. And I thought, these guys are, you know, not has-beens, but this is 87. I mean, their hits were like mid-60s.
Out of the 60s.
Right.
And you figured they're has-beens or they're washed up and, you know, they don't even have a comeback in them.
Yeah. And
that's what you were thinking.
Exactly. You know, and so I was thinking, okay, so what? Some of the Beach Boys, like Mike Love, you know, wrote a song with John Phillips and blah, 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 blah. I'm kind of bored and going, this is not going to be a hit. I was wrong. They were talking about Kokomo.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take you. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama.
They were telling me about it. I was overhearing, and then I jumped in, and they knew that I worked in radio, so you know they were really kind of pumping it up. But it was a big hit at the time that we were talking about the song. At a tap on my shoulder, I turned around. It's Mackenzie Phillips. So in addition to being John Phillips' daughter, the first thing that I think of is One Day at a Time, you know, and it kind of freaked me out because, you know.
And Valerie Bertinelli.
Valerie Bertinelli was on the show. I was kind of surprised because our friend Kenny Hollis set it up that Mackenzie walked over to me and she tapped me on the shoulder and she goes, "Oh my God, are you Greg Rennie?"
That's funny. That's funny.
And I said, without, you know, missing a beat.
And Kenny set that up. I'm sure, like, Kenny set that whole thing up. And
absolutely.
It was just to put a smile on your face. Right?
Oh, yeah. He would do stuff like that. Yeah, backstage hijinks. But didn't miss a beat when she said that. I said, "Oh, my God, you're Mackenzie Phillips." So we just started talking. And, you know, we had a couple drinks with, you know, like doubles and triples and such. And so we sat down in the lounge there.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help it, but I asked her, "You know, I saw you and your dad on Geraldo the other day, and you guys were talking about now that you're clean and sober. And I mean, are you still clean and sober?" She goes, "Oh my God, yeah. I'll just drink, but I don't do heroin anymore."
Oh, I'll just drink. So she wasn't totally sober.
Well, okay. Yeah, there's more to the story, though, with the autobiography, which is really kind of interesting because at the time she was telling me that, you know, she was off of heroin and she showed me on her foot where she used to inject heroin. And we had this long conversation. It was very, very interesting. But with the whole idea that she was clean and sober. In the autobiography, I lined up the time and she was not clean and sober. From heroin. She was, you know, absolutely lying. And apparently her and her dad during that tour and during the time that they were at that club, they were still doing heroin.
Openly used. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, a wonderful person. It'd be kind of cool to have her on the show because of her recovery. Such a story to tell. But yeah. There's a few other people I met backstage. But how about you? You met Van Halen.
Well, yeah, that was huge for me. Like, you know, in my business, I did radio in two of the biggest markets in Canada. I did it in Toronto. I did it in Montreal. And I had a chance to meet the greats in the music industry. And I mean, top five. You know, I mentioned Seal in a previous program.
Right.
Had the opportunity to meet him, but then of course, I'm going to say mid '90s, I got a chance to see Van Halen at the old Forum in Montreal, and I believe that night Collective Soul opened for them. So when I met Eddie backstage for his concert at the old Montreal Forum, he was walking with a cane, and I believe he had just had hip surgery. You know, these guys were gods to me, just gods. Like
for a lot of us, yeah.
And you know, it was quick. It was dirty. We didn't really get a chance.
Wait a minute. What was quick and dirty here?
Well, just the...
What the hell went on backstage with Eddie Van Halen, Rob?
No, the meet and greet was just quick and dirty. And know what? He was very pleasant. he and his brother, they were all you know, they were all pleasant.
There's a time and place for everything, for everyone.
But, you know, I got a chance to meet the guy, and he was just down, he and his brother were just down to earth. I met Sammy Hagar. This is after, of course, the David Lee Roth days. So it was with Sammy Hagar as the lead singer for Van Halen. But and then when I sat back, we met Van Halen prior to the concert. So it wasn't after the concert. And then I sat down and I saw the concert. I saw Collective Soul perform. I saw Van Halen perform. And, you know, that's one of the gifts that my radio career has given me. Is the chance to meet some great people and some people who have an extensive music background as Van Halen, as Seal. And so, I mean, now you go back to your days at Lulu's. Who else did you meet?
Yeah, I met some of my idols. I was able to see Jan and Dean in concert.
I want to hear the Jan and Dean story.
Oh, yes. Yeah, my wife has heard this story many times. Every time Dead Man's Curve plays on the radio, I tell her this story. Okay, so the quick story about Jan and Dean. Everyone remembers that song.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that it's well known that Jan Barry was in a horrific car accident shortly after that song was released. So everyone kind of tied it in, you know, with the lyrics of the song. And he was extremely hurt and damaged in the car accident. In the 80s, he still showed a lot of effects of this accident, but he could sing.
Were they more physical effects, Greg, or were they, or did it affect his brain and so on?
Oh yeah, it was a brain injury.
Okay. Yeah. So it was. You're not talking more physical effects. It was more mental or
both. Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Both yeah. Really. And when I was backstage, you know, I met Jan Barry as well as Dean Torrance. And Jan at the time, like I said, could sing great, but he had a hard time speaking. I had a 45 of their very, very first song.
Wow.
Which is Jenny Lee. That was their first song. And it was pressed on a label in Beverly Hills called Arnie Records. This is a long story, folks, but I'll get to it. So that record that I had in my hand when I was backstage was the first pressing. And it was a pink and black label of Arwen Records. So I wanted them to sign it. But my intention going backstage is that I saw a movie when I was a kid called The Jan and Dean Story. Maybe some people have seen that. In there, regarding their first song, apparently they had some kind of argument. And Dean went off to the Army, some kind of reserve thing. And so they had apparently this argument. And when they finally did the final edit on this song, Jenny Lee, that Jan took his voice out of the song because they had this big fight, right? In spite, he was going to take it out, right?
Right.
I wanted to know, and I'm not sure if you did it. Every time I went backstage and I saw someone that I really liked and really and knew from when I was a kid, I had questions for them.
Yeah.
So when I met Dean Torrance, I asked him, is it true? Is that story true that was in the movie that you guys had an argument and you did not end up on the song because it says Jan and Arnie, not Jan and Dean, on their very first record? So DJs would have played it and they said, hey, here's an old duo from California. Here's Jan and Arnie. It wasn't Jan and Dean.
Oh, I never knew this.
Yeah, there's more to it. It's quite interesting. I wanted to know if it was true because I had the first copy, first pressing of the record. And I wanted them to sign it, right? But I knew there was a story behind it. So Dean told me that was not true. So he said that was not true. He said the true story was, and he goes, you work in radio. I want you to know this, is that Jan was one of the first big audio producers in California at the time.
Right.
He edited the song and the final version of it they, between the two of them, Jan and Dean, they couldn't figure out if the final version of the song that went on the record, if Dean was on it or not. That was a true story.
Okay.
A little more interesting in the movie that they had this big fight and, you know, that didn't happen. So I said, would you be willing to sign it? And Dean said, well, I can't sign it because I don't know if I'm on it. Which is true.
Okay.
So I said, that's okay. It's not something that, you know, I'm going to sell on eBay or something. You know, I just wanted both their autographs. So he did sign it. And then he brought it over to Jan and he said, Jan, look, this is a Pink and Black. And the reaction was immediate. And Jan was thrilled that I had this first pressing. So Jan also signed it. So I did get both autographs on the record. And I still have that record today.
And keep it and maybe someday sell it on eBay.
Yeah. Well, now both of them are gone. So, yeah, it might be worth something. But folks, that's my Jan and Dean story. It was thrilling for me. I'm sorry it was boring for you.
You cease to amaze me sometimes at just some of the little tidbits of information. But that is a great story. I was thinking this past week, Greg, of another person. I'm pretty sure you were there for this. It wasn't at Lou's.
If I was drinking, I wouldn't know.
Okay. This was back in our heavy drinking days and stuff like that. But I'm thinking Chime Radio and the year that we hired Wolfman Jack to MC a show for us at Chime Radio in Kitchener. And it was sort of like a 50s and 60s memorabilia type show, sock hop, right. Whatever you want to call it.
I do remember that one, yeah.
And I remember because I used to partake in the Mary Jane, and I think a lot of my coworkers knew that. And Wolfman Jack comes into he just got off the plane and he comes up to, I think we held that that party at Binghamton Park in Kitchener, and Wolfman Jack says, hey, anyone know where I can get some green around here? Because, of course, you don't want to fly with some green.
Wolfman Jack was trying to score.
He was trying to score, and guess what? Reeford scored for the Wolfman.
Reeford.
Yeah.
Scored for Wolfman Jack. Okay, tell me the rest of the story.
So he says, anyone know where I can get some weed around here? And I went, as a matter of fact, sir, yes, I can help you out with that. And, of course, the money was no object because the radio station was going to buy his weed. So I just went to my dealer and I left Binghamton's and I was back within a half an hour with enough for him to smoke. And he was the happiest camper after that. I hate telling stories after a person has died, but it was a true story. And I'll never forget that. Like, clap for the Wolfman. He's gonna rate your record high.
Clap for the Wolfman. He gonna rate your record high.
Speaking of records, we should insert something from American Graffiti, which a lot of people may remember that movie. Wolfman Jack was in it.
That's right.
Are you the Wolfman?
No, man, I'm not the Wolfman.
Who is this on the Wolfman telephone?
Diane.
How you doing, Diane?
That's
the Wolfman.
Do you love me?
He's on tape. The man is on tape.
Do you love me?
Well.
Yeah.
Where is he now? I mean, where does he work?
The Wolfman is everywhere.
Going back to that boring story of mine, did you know that Wolfman Jack was in the movie as well as Mackenzie Phillips? It was one of her first roles, and she was like 13 or 14 at the time.
I did not know that.
Greg is extending the boring story, but there was a tie-in there.
No, so there is a tie-in. And you know what? It's funny how we got on this little tangent. We got talking about Wolfman Jack, but little did I know that Wolfman and Mackenzie Phillips were in a movie together. And I did not know that.
Yeah. Not in the same scenes, but in the same movie.
Yeah. No, amazing. Who else? Any other names that...
oh, God. How much time do you have?
Oh, I don't know. We're winding down here, but I'm... Like I said, I've been blessed. I remember the band Level 42. I got to MC a show at Center in the Square Kitchener and got to welcome everyone to an evening with Level 42. And I got a chance to meet Mark King, the bass player, singer for the band Level 42, and the rest of the band prior to the show. And I said, okay, guys, what do you want me to say when I get out there and introduce you? And he says, just mention our record label, mention this, mention that, and we're going to do a great show. I went up there, and before you know it, there was Level 42 starting their musical thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Center in the Square, Level 42.
Oh, just one of those great memories, introducing one of your favorite bands on stage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love those guys, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what the life of radio did for me. We had a chance to meet a lot of great people, and if they weren't musicians, they were politicians or they were movie stars or what have you, but just some great memories.
Mm-hmm. You referred to that in that other episode from a few months ago about Michael Damian and Heather Locklear. That was an interesting story.
Yeah, and
please don't go into it.
You don't want me to tell the story again. Okay,
there'll be another hour.
Well, let's just say that I had a chance to be with Heather Locklear, but the end of the story is I never was able to raise the plane fare to get out to Los Angeles, California after being set up with Heather Locklear via Michael Damian.
Spoiler alert, Rob did not hook up or marry Heather Locklear.
No, I didn't.
No. The other quick story I can talk about is, and I'd like you to play, some songs to insert here.
Yeah.
Is February 3rd, 1959 was the day the music died.
I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride.
Buddy Holly, Big Bopper, and Richie Valens died in a plane crash on the way to a gig.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye.
And so there was this plane crash February 3rd, 1959. It took the lives of Buddy Holly, Big Bopper, and Richie Valens all at once, died in a plane crash. Now, the story behind that is that Buddy Holly did not tour with the Crickets on that tour. He picked up some artists, and one guitarist he knew well was Waylon Jennings, but he was unknown at the time. So Waylon, being one of the Crickets, was on the show. The story goes is that someone flipped a coin regarding who gets to go on the plane and get to the next gig quick to do their laundry, or who actually goes back on the bus. And this was in the middle of a very, very harsh winter. Who goes on the bus and takes the crappy route to the gig? Now, there was a discussion, because when I was backstage, our good friend Kenny Hollis, the MC of the nightclub, brought it up. I didn't want to bring it up in front of Waylon Jennings.
Oh, okay.
But Kenny brought it up. Then I'm a Buddy Holly fan. And the sad story is that Waylon Jennings lost out on getting a seat on the plane. And joking around, this is actually comes out of a book as well, but I know this to be true. And unfortunately, Kenny is actually telling Waylon the story, which is kind of crazy. But the discussion was between Buddy Holly and Waylon Jennings is that Waylon joked, yeah, well, I hope your plane crashes.
No.
Yeah, he did say that.
Apparently a true story.
Not apparently. It is a true story. When Kenny brought it up in front of Waylon Jennings, he went white.
Oh.
He went white. And he didn't say a thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So, because he feels guilty. And I was reading about that not too long ago. Waylon Jennings became a great country music star. And he often said how much guilt he had.
I'm gonna go back. Here's a memory, too. I think it was like 1985. We'll have to look it up. But Ricky Nelson passed away.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
In, a, in a plane crash. Mm-hmm. And a month or two prior to, and I believe it was around New Year's, if my memory serves me correct, that Ricky Nelson lost his life in a plane crash.
I'm quite sure.
I think it was the end of either New Year's Eve on the tail end of 1985 or the first year or the first day in 1986. But I introduced Ricky Nelson 1 or 2 months just prior to he losing his life at Lulu's. And, you know, I mean, Ricky Nelson, I was so choked up about that one, mm-hmm. especially when you've had, you know, a personal interaction with someone and you realize
shortly before he died. Yeah. What would you say is your favorite song from Ricky Nelson?
Oh, I mean, Hello, Mary Lou. Garden Party would be another one.
But it's all right now.
Garden Party, great song.
Learn my lesson well.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, through my days in radio, these were the opportunities I had. A chance to meet a lot of terrific people. And
yeah, we did. Yeah. We did.
So, anyway, getting back to the beginning of the show when I said, you know, we will talk about anything and everything, and the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Squad 51, KMG 365, Over and Out, Rampart.
Well, I'll look forward to how you edit this episode and insert the music to make it a little bit more interesting. But I had fun. I had fun reminiscing, well, and I'm very fond of those stories, and I'm a big music fan, and it was fun to reminisce.
As always.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to like and follow us on all social media. And if you like what you hear, hit subscribe, download, and share with your friends. Thanks. Mind Body Matters is a great media production.